This hour is all about looking on the bright side, which is not to say that we should all rush out and stock up on rose-colored glasses. Cultural critic Barbara Ehrenreich explains why that's a terrible idea in her latest book. It's called Brightsided: How the Relentless Promotion of Positive Thinking Has Undermined America. She told Steve Paulson it was her bout with breast cancer that got her riled up about thinking good thoughts.
For me, it all started with being treated for breast cancer 8 years ago and, you know, really being kind of scared and upset by the whole thing. So I reached out for all the information and support I could find. And what I found instead was this steady barrage of advice to be positive, to be upbeat, to be cheerful about the disease itself. In fact, even to see the disease itself as a really good thing.
You do hear this, people who talk about cancer as a gift, an unexpected gift, that their life then changed, sort of, you know, good things came out of this tragedy.
You know, I wonder about those people. If cancer is their idea of a gift, I don't want to be on their Christmas list, you know. It just struck me the wrong way. It seemed like there was very little acknowledgement of the pain, of the debilitating treatments, or discussion about the disease. Why is this disease so epidemic? What causes it? What are we going to do about it? It just seemed like, here, take this pink breast cancer teddy bear, cuddle up with it, and be happy that you have the disease.
Well, I certainly understand what you're saying. I mean, you know, don't try to sort of put this phony gloss of cheer on something that's really pretty horrible. On the other hand, aren't a lot of people just trying to make the best out of a bad situation?
Well, it's not the best for patients or for people going through this, as various healthcare givers are beginning to acknowledge now. It's an added burden. You already have the disease. And now, in addition, you're told that you have to think positively or you may not get better. I mean, that's the hooker here. The idea, which has been fairly rampant, even though it's been disproved, that a positive attitude will guarantee or improve your chances of recovery. You know, this has been refuted, and yet a lot of people go through cancer experience thinking, oh my God, what am I going to do with these negative feelings? I've got to fight them. I've got to, you know, and that's kind of victim blaming. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't recover, it doesn't mean that you thought the wrong thoughts. It means the treatments weren't adequate or the cancer was too advanced or whatever.
Now, you say positive thinking is actually part of American ideology. Can you explain what you mean?
The original positive thinkers were some very independent-minded people in the 19th century who were rejecting the prevailing Calvinism. According to the prevailing Calvinist Protestantism, everybody is a, you know, wretched sinner and probably damned to eternal torment. And these original positive thinkers say, you know, it's not that bad. There are wonderful opportunities. Let's not think this way about ourselves. And I think that's terrific. But by the 20th century, this had increasingly become part of a get-rich-quick philosophy. That you could not only cure diseases by thinking positively, but you could attract wealth and success to yourself just by having positive thoughts.
And there were a lot of people who were touting this message, both religious people and those who weren't. And I suppose the most famous person was Norman Vincent Peale, who wrote the 1952 bestseller, The Power of Positive Thinking.
And with Norman Vincent Peale, you begin to see also increasingly how positive thinking became part of corporate ideology. Norman Vincent Peale was enormously popular as a corporate speaker, especially for, you know, the sales force, to pump them up. And that use of motivational speakers and positive thinking gurus just increased dramatically in the 1990s and 00s, in my analysis, because we were undergoing an age of downsizing. And corporate leaders were quite clear about it. They needed this ideology to quell dissent.
So you're making the argument that this sort of becomes a tool to tell people they shouldn't complain. Even when the conditions
are
bad, they should be happy for what they have.
You can see it as a method of sort of social control. And I think one kind of society that was very insistent on this was Soviet-style communism. In the Soviet Union, you could not be a pessimist, because that would be to be a defeatist. And the penalties for that were not just, you know, getting fired, but possibly going to a labor camp.
But it's not just corporations that try to pass on this message. I mean, this is a very sort of popular idea that has fueled best-selling books. It's a staple of a bunch of Oprah Winfrey's shows. I mean, people really gravitate to this whole idea think positively and your life will be better.
Well, look at the message as conveyed to us, for example, by the 2006 bestseller, The Secret. The message was, you can have anything you want by using your mind, your mental powers, to attract it to you. I see a necklace in a jewelry store window. I focus on that. Maybe I put a little picture of that necklace up on my bathroom mirror so I can see it every morning and evening. And it will come to me. That was what The Secret said. I mean, it's loony. But that was a mega bestseller promoted by Oprah, by Larry King, by Ellen DeGeneres, too, I think.
So sort of the underlying idea there is that there are some metaphysical properties at work that will provide for this mind over matter kind of thing happening.
Yes. And as a person educated in the sciences, I was kind of fascinated by the pseudoscientific explanations you get for how thoughts can attract things to you that you want. The explanation used to be magnetism. You had a magnetic field coming from your brain, and that would bring stuff to you. Now, as we know, our heads are not attracted to refrigerators. You know, it's just not a very big magnetic field. Now they talk about quantum physics, that this is somehow follows from quantum physics, that your thoughts can control the universe. Don't ask unless you really want to get into some heavy stuff here.
Well, and of course, no one actually knows how quantum physics works. I mean,
I have a glimmer of an idea, and it has nothing to do with my thoughts bringing me necklaces.
We need to have the capacity to be critical, is what you're saying. And being critical is not necessarily the same as just being negative.
No, the alternative to positive thinking isn't negative thinking. The alternative to both, well, here's a real radical alternative, realism. Trying to really understand and assess what's going on and figure out what we can do about it. And let me just throw in something here as a very involved grandma, and, you know, before that, of course, a mother. One area which is of life that is so everyday and common, which is child raising. You can't be a, quote, positive thinker about that. You know, when the toddlers are alone in the other room and suddenly it becomes very quiet in there, you can't just imagine they're sitting around reading Baby Einstein. You know, a parent thinks, no, they're putting forks in the electrical outlets.
Yeah, but on the other hand, I mean, I say this as a parent myself, you can't also go around and just say no to everything. Because, I mean, which is really easy to do as a parent. Don't do that, because, you know, they're constantly on the verge of either breaking something or hurting themselves, and yet you don't want to give that message either.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, kids are fun. They're a lot of fun to be with, but we all know that parenthood depends on being quite vigilant all the time and not just assuming that things will go well.
Mm-hmm. Isn't there a happy medium here somewhere? I mean, somehow embracing the value of positive thinking. I mean, there are good things about positive thinking. I mean, it does seem to, you know, sort of recharge the atmosphere. And yet, obviously, it can be very elusive and can create a false sense of optimism.
Well, can we agree that determination is a good thing? When I'm working with other people on a project, I want them to be determined. I don't care if they're smiling all the time and saying this is all going to be great and turn out wonderful. Some of them are going to say, hey, we've got problems ahead of us. But determination, you can have determination even when you don't think realistically that you might succeed. You keep on going. Now, I think that is a value to hold on to. We don't want generals in the Army who say, I hope we'll win tomorrow, or I'm pretty optimistic about a victory. No, I want to hear a plan. Can we agree on that?
Barbara Ehrenreich has written many books, most recently Brightsided, How the Relentless Promotion of Positive Thinking Has Undermined America. She spoke with Steve Paulson.